On WFAN, it's time for Hello, My Name is Craig, our weekly candid conversation about gambling addiction. Now, here's Craig Carton.
Hey there, welcome to another edition of Hello, My Name is Craig. Craig Carton with you as always for the next 30 minutes of frank, open, honest conversation about gambling addicts and gambling addiction. Joining me as always is Dan Trelawer from IC360. Dan, good morning. How are you doing today, pal?
I'm doing great, Craig. It's a great day. It's a great weekend and getting ready to go to the Notre Dame-Pittsburgh game.
Ah, there you go. Great. And joining us today is a fellow gambler in recovery. This is Sherwin joining us this morning. Sherwin, good morning. How are you?
Hey, guys. Good to be here. How are you?
Good. We'll get right into it with you and appreciate you coming on. What was the date of your last wager?
You're looking at October 21st, 2020, but who's counting?
Wow, congratulations. That's a big deal. That's 5 years. You just passed your 5th year anniversary. I imagine life is a whole lot better today than it was 5 years ago.
It certainly is. It's very rewarding.
And when we talk about your journey in gambling, when you look back on your life, when were you first exposed to any type of gambling?
Well, any type? I mean, as a kid growing up, you know, I grew up in the Rockland County area. So, you know, every now and then you go to Atlantic City with the family, maybe one time we'll go to Las Vegas as a kid with family. So that was like the first, I guess, exposure, but it was very, not really meaningful. I mean, it was like any other person's exposure at the time.
Got it. Do you remember being excited by it? You know, the bells and whistles and bright lights, or is that not a memory you have?
Nope, not at all. I remember the lights and the whistles and all that stuff, but it didn't even stick to me. Even the first time I went to, I'm in the Northeast, so, you know, Mohegan Sun of Connecticut, it wasn't really a big deal to me then as well. I would say that, the real, I guess, you know, journey of when it really began, mm-hmm. I'd say I was 22, and it started with maybe online wagering, which was illegal in New York State at the time, and it still is illegal for online casinos. But that was really the first time where it became like, you know, the interest was more than a regular person would be.
How did you find out that you could do it illegally online? Did a buddy say, hey, I'm making money or I'm doing this, and you went along with it because your friends were doing it? Or was it just some type of, you know, random personal interest? Oh, let me check this out.
Oh, I mean, it was the convenience of it, that it was on my laptop. You know, at the time I was newly out of school, out of college, not many career prospects at the time. So it became, you know, an offshore, you know, gambling site based out of Costa Rica. Oh, this is cool. I just made $500 playing online blackjack or poker or baccarat. So, you know, that's $500 that I, you know, don't have to wait on tables because I'm paying off my student loans. You know,
I actually used to own an offshore casino in Costa Rica, and I'm getting my fingers across that you weren't wagering at the site that I owned back in 1997. I'm assuming that's before you were gambling, but in my head, I'm like, oh, my Lord, I hope that wasn't where he was doing it.
Wasn't me.
Dan, let me bring you here. In the studies that you've done and the medical textbooks that you've read and just your experience traveling coast to coast, are we finding that there's a generational gap or divide between maybe your generation, my generation? You're starting to gamble later in life and, you know, younger guys gambling earlier? Because it's interesting that he was exposed to gambling, didn't do anything for him, and then in his young 20s, he started down the path we all went down.
Yeah, today we see it. It's availability and accessibility. And, Craig, you know, we know that young emerging adults are starting gambling earlier. You know, I mean, some can make an argument that we start to kind of facilitate gambling through the Chuck E. Cheese's, the Dave and Buster's, the video gaming. So we're normalizing the spending of money in hopes of winning something of value where there's risk or uncertainty. Mm-hmm. And then you look at culture today. I mean, it is ubiquitous. It is. We've had people come on and say it's cool to be a degenerate gambler, which is not. And we just start to see this across society, across all different facets. So definitely the availability and accessibility makes it a lot easier to experiment. And people are starting earlier, and that could potentially be a problem down the road.
So, Sherwin, how quickly did it become a problem for you?
I would say within the first 3 months, it kind of became a problem where I was, you know, maxing out my debit cards, you know, things like that. But then, like, you know, it kind of went away where, you know, it would still be an issue, but it was manageable. It was just, I guess you'd call it recreational. Mm-hmm. But this was probably in my late 20s. But then the real problem became when in my early 30s, you know, I'm not, you know, waiting tables anymore. I'm not, you know, living at home. I'm now, you know, I'm married, father of two, and I'm in a white collar profession, bringing in a few hundred thousand a year. And, you know, then all of a sudden the thing becomes, well, you know, now, you know, there's a casino, a land-based casino, an hour from me. There's a casino an hour and a half from me. So it becomes a thing of, oh, well, you know, now COVID's happened. You know, I'm working remotely. When you're working remotely,
right,
it's pretty easy to work on your own terms and your own timeline. So it becomes, you know, all right, the kids are in school. You know, why not? My wife doesn't know. My wife's working herself. So just, you know, get in the car and, you know, go to your favorite casino an hour away from you and, you know, go with, you know, $20,000-$30,000 of casino markers or bank checks or whatever it is. And, you know, then that's when the as Dan just said earlier, the degenerate phase kind of starts, or at least started for me at
so
that point.
So as you got into your aggressive gambling and, you know, out of control gambling, was there ever a point where your wife came to you and said, hey, Sherwin, what's going on? You're not yourself. You're distant. You're not really here, even when you are here. Like, was she clued in at all to maybe not knowing that you were gambling, but knowing that there was something going on?
Well, you know, it did kind of get, yeah, it got to the point where, you know, she knew I was gambling, but not to the extent I was. I mean, right, if she would come with me to, you know, obviously the casino is comping me and giving me free rooms and free spa treatments and all that stuff. And so I bring her, and, you know, then when I'm with her, I'm wagering, you know, $5 to $10. But then when she's asleep in the room and it's 2 a.m. and I'm betting, you know, $1,000 a roll at the craps table, then, you know, she's shielded from that. But then I think the point where she knew, her knowing was kind of the turning point. It got to a point where it wasn't the day of my last wager, but it was around that point where I came home from a day of, you know, should have been in the office, because at that point it was optional to come back into, you know, from working virtual to being in person. Mm-hmm. Instead of working, I just, you know, went to the casino for the day, you know, blow through about $22,000, which, you know, it's starting to become now a bit of a problem where I'm like, holy cow, in the past couple of years, you know, a few hundred thousand dollars is just, you know, gone, you know, win some, lose some, but then, you know, just doesn't work out. And then you come home and then you have to have that long talk when the kids are asleep, and the talk kind of teeters on the direction of, you know, I'm not saying I'm going to leave you, but why would I be? Why would I want, if I was like this, you wouldn't want to be with me. So why would I want to be with you? So that was kind of the turning point, but it wasn't the end of the problem gambling by any means.
Let me stop you right there. We'll take a quick break. We'll find out what the end was. This is Hello, My Name is Craig.
Back to more of Hello, My Name is Craig on The Fan with your host, Craig Carton.
Welcome back to Hello, My Name is Craig. Dan Trelawer, as always, and Sherwin sharing his story. So when we went to break there, your wife is now kind of hip to the fact that you're gambling, and gambling more money than your family can really afford to gamble, from a standpoint of not having the savings you should have had. But you mentioned that was not the end of it. And I know we could tell your story over the course of many hours, so I apologize for truncating, you know, your life story, and I do apologize for that. But what happened before you decided to go get help, where you decided to get help? A lot of us have this bottom-of-the-barrel moment. What was that last, you know, day or two like for you?
Well, yeah, you know, we had a long talk where she kind of said, you know, things have to change, and they got to change soon, or, you know, you're really gambling with, you know, with our future, with your, you know, with how things are going to turn out. So I slept on it quite a bit, but I was still kind of living in that world, but it became less and less. Instead of going, you know, 3 or 4 days a week, it kind of became like 2 days a week. Then from 2 days a week, it became 1 day a week. Then it got to the point where you know, I would go there with a lot of money, but then after an hour of playing, I was even. So I just said, you know what, I'm sick of this. I'm going to go home. Huh. So, you know, slowly I kind of got a little bit, dampened down a little bit, but right. It's still the urge was there. And then I think it was one day when I realized that there are resources like GA, Gamblers Anonymous, and, you know, shows like this. I mean, this show wasn't around at the time, I believe, but, you know, things of that nature where I saw there was online tools where I said, you know what, if I really want to make this thing permanently in the closet forever, you know, the tools are there for it to happen. Because at that point, I was just saying to myself, I'm helpless. I'm never going to get out of this. Maybe it will become less, but it's still always going to be a part of me. But, you know, then I realized that it will always be a part of me, but I have the choice to be active.
I got to say, I'm fascinated by that, and good for you. I mean, it's great that, you know, you didn't, you know, make the ultimate mistake of, you know, stealing money to get money to gamble with, or, you know, waste and throw all the family's money away. And it sounds like you kind of weaned yourself off, which is obviously not a prescribed way to get into recovery. But at the end of the day, I'm sure Dan, you'll agree, it doesn't matter how you get there as long as you get there. But that's a very unique story of, in the 5 years we've done this show, yeah. I think you're the only person we've ever had on who didn't have that one great loss, or, you know, didn't get discovered by a spouse, you know, didn't waste everything or steal money or get arrested. And it's really unique and shows, again, what Dan, you and I talk about a lot. And that is, while the addiction, we all have a certain amount of commonality in the addiction, recovery is extraordinarily unique.
100%. And then it's fascinating to hear that type of entry point into recovery. And, you know, recovery starts from so many different roads. And you know what? There's probably maybe somebody listening right now, or a bunch of people listening right now, are going to say, all right, I can do that too. You know, maybe that's for me. And that's what's beautiful about it, is highlighting so many different stories and entry points to recovery, man. What do they say? All roads lead to recovery. And this is just a new road we just built.
It also shows you, Sherwin, and Dan, chime in if you want, where you have and had certainly a much greater sense of self-awareness than I did and then Dan did when we were going through your gambling, for sure. And more power to you. I think it's great. You know, I always say to Dan, the last part of my recovery, and I'm not sure if I'll ever get this answer, is I honestly don't know why I stopped. You know, because I had ample opportunity to stop along the way. I had a million reasons to stop. I knew I should stop. Rehab didn't make me stop. And then one day I just stopped. And I honestly don't know why.
Well, I got to cut butt in. I did my last gamble day. It did coincide with something that I did miss out on.
Okay.
The day that I finally did put it in the closet, it was a day that I actually didn't get promoted at work for a promotion that was, I was told beforehand, this was during COVID, I was told, you know, you've been with us for 4 years, you know, I work in financial services. I was told I was going to get promoted to a position of someone that died from COVID. I was going to be taking their position. And, you know, basically that instead of taking that opportunity seriously, I just said, no, thank you. I'm not interested. I'm just interested in driving an hour from my house to go play Baccarat. And that day I was told, you know, I'm sorry, but, you know, that position is no longer for you. And I was specifically told that position was passed on me because of a lack of performance, which there was no other. I mean, at first I rationalized, no, it's because of my family. It's because of, right, you know, COVID, not working at home and this and that. No, it was because of that. So I did lose something on my road. And that was, I guess, the point where that was my last bet. That was my last wager. And for a good 2 years, even being in recovery, it was very grueling. It was very taxing. I had the support system, thank God. I had the show at one point. I had GA. I had my sponsor. I had my wife been behind me. I had, you know, siblings behind me. But certainly, by no means would I say, you know, I did walk away with a big loss. I did not walk away. No gambler walks away a winner, and I'm no exception. So.
Well, that makes a little bit more sense to me now. But it's just different, you know, different levels of loss for sure, and they're unique to each person. But listen, I think it's great that you're willing to share your story. I think the more you talk about it, the better it is and the better you'll feel. And you should be proud of yourself. I know it seems silly to tell an adult they should be proud of something that they accomplished, but it's a big deal to go from where you were, where gambling was your everything, and you threw some rational thought out the window to gamble more and more. And I think you're blessed. You know, your wife is still with you. Your family, knock on wood, is still with you. And you're able to right all the wrongs, or at least a lot of them. And I think the more you tell the story, the easier it is for other people to share their stories as well. So I can't thank you enough for coming on.
Anytime. I would love to come back. You know, I really enjoy the show. You and Dan have been an immense resource. In addition to the other resources that, you know, thank God are there. And for anyone out there listening, help is around. We don't live on a deserted island. There's GA meetings all across wherever you live. There's online resources. There's this show, which is amazing. And you know what? Just take the first step.
I appreciate that. And let me ask you one final question before we let you go. And then Dan and I wrap it up after that. Is there any part of you that misses gambling?
Besides the noise that comes with it, the camaraderie, the long drive to the casino with friends, the anticipation, other than that, I don't miss it, and I wouldn't go back to it for even a second. Even though each morning I wake up and I have to struggle with, I'm not going to gamble today, I still don't miss the process of it, and I certainly, you know, all I miss is the background noise that came with it. And I'm sure a lot of people can attest to that too.
No doubt. Well, I appreciate you coming on again. Have a great rest of your weekend. And thank you so much for joining us.
You got it, guys. Thank you so much. Anytime.
All right. Before we wrap it up, Dan, great guest. Thank you as always for getting the guests on the show. And it just, I can't get out of my mind how unique recovery is, and good for him. You know, he's 5 years into his recovery. And it seems like he's doing really well. And like we always say, it doesn't matter how you get there, as long as you get there.
Yeah, you know, it's just fascinating. Like each guest we have, and we've been doing this, 5 years now, and there's always just a little wrinkle, right? There's similarities, yet everyone's just slightly different, which is what you expect. And it just shows the nature of the disease of gambling addiction. It impacts all different walks, socioeconomic status, gender identity, culture, race, religion. It doesn't matter. And it's just interesting to hear how each individual kind of gets to us on the show and how they got to this point in their life. And gosh, it's just so much inspiration every time we have a guest that's kind of moving along and doing well. But let's not forget, Craig, it's a daily battle. You know, like that guest leaves our show and they've got to go back, and obviously they're in the real world every day. Yep. And that's what we don't want people to forget about. It's like, okay, you think they're doing well, they sound good, but it doesn't mean life's easy, right?
Yeah, and I'll leave you with this. You know, Dan's been traveling the country talking specifically on college campuses, and largely to, athletes on campuses, because athletes are competitive men and women. And so their kind of, you know, mental makeup is right in line with what would make someone a compulsive gambler, the unwillingness to lose, the competition, all that stuff. You know, I've been talking a lot lately at local high schools. And I spoke at a high school in New Jersey a couple days ago, and I spoke to 437 high school kids from 9th to 12th grade, okay? And I said, the way this works is we're going to share things back and forth. And, you know, I've been promised from the dean of students, wherever you share in this room stays in this room. You cannot get in trouble for anything you participate in conversation-wise, okay? So it's in this particular high school's rule book, all right, because it's a boarding school, that if a student is caught gambling, it's an immediate expulsion, okay? And I said, I want to walk you kids through why I'm here and why your school asked me to come. I said, right now, by a show of hands, how many of you have seen or are aware of a classmate, you don't have to rat yourself out, but of a classmate that's gambling, all right? 437 hands went up in the air.
Yep.
Okay? Yep. And that's a school that prides itself on, we have rules, and if you break our rules, you can go home. And every single hand went up. And, you know, that's why you do the work you do outside of the show. And, of course, with IC360, it's why I do the work I do outside of the show and, you know, my normal day job talking sports. Because what a lot of people don't want to recognize, and I can tell you, and you could vouch for me on this, 4 years ago, about a year into the show that Dan and I were doing, there were a number of high schools. So we're just out of COVID, right? It's mid-2021. We started the show in January of 21. And a number of high school guidance counselors reached out asking us if we would be willing to come to the high school to speak. And only one of those schools allowed us to speak. And it was via Zoom because it was still, you know, right after COVID. Every other school said, we don't want our kids exposed to that type of conversation. And now I've got a list as long as my arm of high schools literally begging us to come in and speak to the kids because now they recognize they've got an epidemic on their hands. Crazy. It's really crazy.
It's crazy. Before COVID, when I was the assistant director at 800 Gambler in New Jersey, we had 130 high schools, and we were talking about video gaming and risk-taking and decision-making. Mm-hmm. And then fast forward to today, Craig, you know, we're in the process of working with a partner in the state of New Jersey, and we've developed curriculum. And I'll be speaking in March at the Student Assistance Counselors Annual Conference, where we'll have half the student assistance counselors in the state of New Jersey gathering together in early March, where I'll be the keynote speaker talking about mental health, risk-taking, decision-making, and education around gambling. And because this is something we have to talk about. College institutions are getting kids coming to them with no previous conversation, no open dialogue, and no knowledge of what a healthy relationship or unhealthy relationship looks like. So yeah. I agree with you. High schools need to get this on board.
Yep, and we're doing it. And again, if you are a parent of a kid in a high school, if you work for a local school, and you have an interest in Dan and I coming out to speak on your campus, we do it free of charge. We're happy to do it. The only thing I sometimes request is an extra large hoodie so I can rock the school on TV and promote the school. But you could email me directly. It's craigcartonlive@gmail.com. And we will respond to every email, and we will make a point to visit whatever school has an interest in us coming out, whether it's Dan and I together, just Dan, just me. We'll make sure that we come out to your school and start talking to these kids about something that is happening right now. In any event, Dan, always a pleasure. Hopefully you enjoy the college campuses this weekend, Notre Dame action, and always appreciate you. We'll do it again next week.
Thanks, brother. Have a great weekend.
Thank you so much for listening to Hello, My Name is Craig.